Hey, just a quick note. Andy Slammons asked me to mention about his upcoming private label retreat. This one's actually going to be held in Orlando in October, October 6th through the 9th. If you're interested in private label and you want to get one-on-one with him, Leron, and Nathan, this is the environment. This is where you're going to be up late at night working on growing your business. Q4 is here. You've already got that set. Let's get 2018 up to snuff. Get going with the new product that you bring to market. And you're going to learn about it at his retreat in Orlando, October 6th through the 9th. If you're interested in any way, they've already sold, I think, half of them. So there's a little bit of time left to get in. Just private message me and I'll give you a link that they have so you could see it and make a decision. And there's some testimonials and that kind of thing. So again, just private label me and I'll get the info to you. Q4 is coming and you need to get ready now. How would you like some help in getting the keywords you need to drive your private label and wholesale sales even higher? Sounds good, doesn't it? Well, getting those right keywords takes a lot of time, time that you just don't have. Well, I have the product for you. It's called Scope. Yep, Scope. Comes from the gang at Seller Lab, so you know you can trust it. Scope helps you optimize your listing based on the keywords that are actually helping your competitors sell their products. Yes, you get to see them. You want to get your listing in the best position to sell your products. After all, that's what we're here for, is to sell products. Jeff gave me a great offer for you. The first three keywords are free and $50 off an annual plan. That's the lowest price out there, and you get it because you're listening to my podcast. There's two simple ways to get it. Go to sellerlabs.com/momentum. There's a place to pop in a code. The code is momentum. So again, sellerlabs.com/momentum. Use the code word momentum. Or, even easier, text the phrase get scope. No space, just get scope to 44222 and follow the instructions. It's very, very simple. So text get scope to 44222. You're going to get three free keywords, $50 off. Great offer. Remember to tell Jeff I sent you.
Welcome to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast, where we focus on the people, the products, and the process of e-commerce selling today. Here's your host, Stephen Peterson.
Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. This is episode 226, Rachel Miller. Now, Rachel is a Facebook marketing expert, bar none. Period. That's it. She is amazing at building audiences, or I like how she calls it collecting audiences. I think that that's such a great visual effect when you think about, imagine a group of people with a common thing, cats or moms or weightlifters or podcasters, right? That group of people tend to do things similar, right? So if you help bring them together and you help them connect and you help keep them connected, you kind of own that audience and therefore you earn the right to market to them. And she has had incredible success at it. And so we talk about it. In this part, in the beginning of the episode, though, we're going to talk about how she got there because it's a great story. As she says, she comes from a plain community and you'll hear a little bit more about that. Let's get into the podcast. All right. Welcome back to the E-Commerce Momentum Podcast. Very excited about today's guest because she's been out running the circuit, talking with everybody, and a couple of people ask me, why haven't you had Rachel on? And it's just because of timing. I mean, it's just timing on my side more so than Rachel's side. She is busy, but you're going to get the vibe that she lives in the chaos. I mean, this is her life. Everything about her is the chaos and loves it. Rachel Miller. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, chaos would probably be an accurate description.
I don't think that's unfair. I mean, let's just get this out of the way. How many kids?
I have six children.
Six kids.
I do.
Now, you don't homeschool them or anything, do you?
We did, kind of. And we have a half school, so they go to school for 3 days, and then they're home for two.
And so this is in Texas, and I mean, these are young kids, right? These kids are, want attention from mom and dad. I mean, this is, they're not just like teenagers, get away from me. This is, I need you.
Yeah, they're fun. My youngest is 5, and my oldest is 11.
Oh man. And several girls, half girls, half boys. So you've got all the boy trouble and then the girl, well, I guess I call it trouble, drama. Yeah.
Yeah. They're both full of it.
Yeah, it's funny. I have two boys and I call them only children because they're 11 years apart. And so we've never had to deal with the infighting. Now I have two granddaughters and the third one on the way, all girls. And so they're, I think, 4.5 and like 2. and they're fighting. And so they were over this weekend and I'm watching them and I'm like, oh my God, what's that? You know, they're actually, I'm like, I've never seen that. And then all of a sudden it's like this screaming and I'm like, what is that? I could pick my boys up by their collar and, you know, and deal with it. Now I'm like, oh my God, what do I do? You know, it's crazy.
Girls are a fun breed. There is a lot of screaming drama.
Screaming
doesn't always mean they're hurt. It just means there's something going on.
And you roll with it. So, but you are in chaos because you are you deal with marketing, right? And Facebook marketing specifically, and we'll get to all that. But you come from my neck of the woods. Talk about how you end up in Texas with six kids selling or doing millions and millions of page views on Facebook and likes on Facebook from little Pennsylvania.
I know. I would have never expected this. I mean, I lived in like rural Pennsylvania.
Like half an hour from me. I mean, the exactly. Sticks. I'm in the sticks, but you're like, go to the sticks and make a left and keep going.
That's exactly where I grew up. And yeah, my parents are in Orristown right near you. But yeah, it's I grew up in the middle of nowhere. I'm kind of in a plain community. So that's considered to be more conservative than probably the rest of the world is even aware exists. And I decided to go backpacking right after high school. And that's how I got out of the plain community. And then
but why
I went...
backpacking? I mean, you've told the story, but why? Why? I mean, what did you think? I mean, were you so isolated yet you knew there was more? Or
and my parents, like I kind of got kicked out of my house. And my parents gave me a couple options. And one was like living on a boat. With YWAM and like helping doctors, like I was going to be the janitor on a boat.
Very appealing. No, there's nothing about that's appealing.
It doesn't sound fun to me. So I decided instead to go backpacking in New York. And it was kind of my parents' option. I had a couple options and that was one of them. And I loved it. It was such a blessing, so much fun. I got to experience the world in a opening the doors slowly kind of way. And then I left that and went to college. I met my husband in my first class.
And what were you going to college for?
Oh, just to go to college at the time. I ended up going to college to teach, but it probably took me 3 years to figure out that that's what I wanted to do. Or rather, that that's what I would get my degree in.
Okay. So you were just going to go and you were just going to college. That was it. Didn't matter. I mean, at that point, you're going to go to college.
I was just, yeah, just the next thing. What do I want to do? I guess I'll go to school. Yeah, I've met my husband in my first class there. It took us a couple of years to realize that we were each the one. And I ended up with a teaching degree, high school economics.
Oh.
I know.
So
I
you're it. Math. Math was your thing. Was, you know, looking at what you know today, would you go back to college? I mean, obviously you met your husband there. Or let me ask you this. You got six kids. Are you going to make that their next step? Is that expected in your household that they're going to go to college, period?
Not period, definitely no.
Okay.
I would like them to go to college because I feel like it gave me a chance to see the world in a way that was beyond what my parents had taught me.
But backpacking didn't give you that experience?
Oh, it did, but I guess I loved all of those experiences.
Okay, so all of them made you. Well, I'm just trying to understand because it's so, I mean, I'm a little older than you, like a lot older than you. But it was expected you get, you know, either you go get a job, join the military, or you go to college, period. That was the options, right? I mean, that was and it was expected. Okay. And so my kids went to college. I mean, because that's what I learned, right? And they went to college. I'm not so sure today that I would force my kids or my grandkids to go to college. I'm not so sure because of the world, how much it's evolved. And I would think, and I mean, you know, I guess I'm putting words in your mouth. I would think with what you know about marketing, how much of it's really not book smart.
Oh,
it's
none of it
intuitive
is.
And it's... Yeah. Consistency and training and all that kind of jazz, right?
Yeah.
So I just
I learned with economics though, is that's supply and demand. That's and I love the stories of the economics. So more social economics than the math of the economics. And that's what does it make someone want to buy something? Why does the dollar react this way when people do this? So that same training that I got and that love of stories in economics that I got in school, I'm able to translate now by reading analytics all day and seeing the person behind those stats.
I love it. Social economics.
Good, Exactly. I think college was good because I don't know if I would have realized I have a passion for social economics if I didn't have to take a wide variety of classes in your, you know, those prerequisites.
Well, that's interesting. I think that that's a very astute. So you've already made the connection of that's where you got to where you're at. I mean, you were able, since you love that, you're able to connect it with what you're doing with Facebook. I love it.
It's interesting because I loved going to college, and then I left college and I worked at a call center with people canceling their phone service.
Oh, Jesus.
I know.
And you like to talk.
I did. I loved that job too. I brought people from a angry, hard place to a I'm okay place, you know, and that was a really fun to help walk people into that transition, you know, and I had like amazing stats of phone calls. So anyway, so I went from, I think each life circumstance, my college, the call center, even teaching high school when the kids don't want to learn economics, honestly, it wasn't my passion. each life stage brought me a little closer to where I am today.
Hmm. Now, here I would say that that's true of everyone if they're self-aware and they're willing to accept the fact that, you know, yeah, you did this and it wasn't your thing, but that didn't mean you failed, right? That meant it was another stage that made you a little closer to what you like to do or not like to do.
I love that because I love my failures because my failures have always launched me to the next level of success. I don't like them when I'm in them, but afterwards, looking back, they're like my highlights, if that makes any sense. And so I love how you said that they initiate that next stage.
You know, the highlights is a great example, right? I mean, they are bloopers or the successes, right? You see them on ESPN, right? Where they, you know, wow, look at this catch, or wow, look at this miss. But, you know, those people who are on TV, they're on TV, right? They're famous. And in your world of Facebook, that's a good thing. Good or bad, right? Good failure or that blooper or that amazing success, either one of them, you can monetize, correct?
Oh, definitely. That's it exactly.
Well, let's talk about monetization. All right, so you are known as the moolah lady because you are a Facebook expert, right? What's the elevator pitch you give when somebody says, Rachel, what do you do?
Somebody told me I took some like personality test or something. It told me that I was a people collector. And once I heard that, I was like, you know what? I think that's the most accurate description of what I do that I've ever heard of. I like to collect audiences. So I have audiences. I have had an audience of preschoolers. I've had an audience of moms. I've had an audience of DIY home repair stuff. I've had an audience of cats. I've got an audience of people who like crock pots. I've got an audience of, you know, I've got like dozens and dozens of these different audiences. So I like to collect people into groups. And then I ask them, what do you like? And then when they tell me what they like, I like to sell that to them.
Now, so you mentioned cats, and we'll get to the crazy cat lady, which you are. but are you a crazy cat, a crock pot lady? I mean, so when you say you like crockpots, is that because you like crockpots and you got six kids, or you know there's eight in your house, so you do that? Is that what it becomes? Is something that you become passionate about?
I actually don't cook.
And
I don't like cats either. I am technically on Facebook, I am the crazy cat lady, but I actually don't have cats and I'm severely allergic to them and don't like them. Don't tell my audience that.
You just did.
I just found that I could monetize that.
Okay. So it's
fun, and I still love those people, and I love to collect them together and help them build a community with each other.
But then is it more like if you see something that's, if you see a group of people that like, well, I'll give you a great example, trains. Okay. So I tend to take the train to New York City whenever I can because it's 3 hours, it's free parking. I can get up, go to the bathroom I want. They have Wi-Fi. It's sketchy, but it works. They have electricity. There's no stress. I don't park. I don't worry about traffic. I don't worry about anything, right?
Love it.
But I noticed this. I missed my train for whatever reason, and I'm watching this dude with this camera taking these pictures of these trains coming by. And I'm like, I mean, I had to ask. I'm like, what do you do? I mean, it's 6 a.m. or whatever. And he's like, oh, man, this blah, blah, blah engine. And man, this is the 182 line and you won't see this. And this is lucky to come through our air. I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is he talking about? But he is so passionate about trains and train cars that's his world. He knows that. And I got the vibe from him. There's a whole group of people. That's their thing, right? They're into it.
Yes.
Is that you saying, there's an opportunity?
Yes, especially if I meet a train person that's passionate about trains who doesn't have any other train people to talk to.
Oh. So, or
Because
well, in the old days, they used to have meetups and this and that, but they probably don't anymore, right?
they still have meetups. People still have meetups. There's a whole thing for meetups. But this, if you can find a way to connect those people to each other who are looking for each other, you become extremely valuable because you've connected groups of people who need each other, and then you've also asked them what they need and given it to them. So you have a skill that's huge.
So when I see in my community on Facebook, for example, the yard sale, it popped up in my thing saying, "Hey, you should consider joining this group." There were 20,000 members in my little community on my town's yard sale page, and I'm thinking, "Huh, wow, that's a lot of people." Is that an example? Because somebody said, "Ooh, here's a group of people that have similar interests, and I'm going to offer this service to them," because it's privately owned, right? Somebody locally owns it if there's a way to own it, right? They manage it or what have you. Is that an example of what you're saying?
Yes,
So they're
that's
solving a
exactly.
problem. They're bringing people together who have wants to buy and people have wants to sell and taking advantage of it.
Yes. And I've even done that in my local neighborhood. I have two local neighborhood groups.
And so that's monetizable. So let's use that. That's an easy example, and that's not the viral stuff. But in that example, how do they make money?
Well, you can make money one by priority placement. So you can have people giving permission to certain people to give links, or that you can bump their products into the feed more.
Whoa, whoa,
So
whoa,
you
whoa,
can
stop,
get.
back, 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 back. I'm not that smart. So go back to the first example. So I could offer somebody the ability to put links to their special homepage. I mean, so for example, it's a local community yard sale and a local grocery store wants to sell, or no, coffee place wants to sell coffee because they're yard sale people, right? They get out earlier. I don't know if that's a good example, but I could
Yes.
have that store pay a sponsorship fee to me and I can have their links in basically ads in there. Is that what you meant by that?
There's a pinned post option, and you can put the pinned post, and it can be a brand. It can be an ad for the week.
And people pay for that right now.
There are people who are paying for that, definitely.
No kidding. Because they're saying, hey, this is a group of 20,000 people that I want to reach in one way or another.
Just a couple days ago, one of my students in my course sold electricity to her town local buy sell trade page. She owned the buy sell trade page, but she gave here's a discount just for our group that the local electricity company said, because they're like, I guess they're like doing a share thing, so that they don't have one company that runs the electricity anymore. So if you would like to go to this electricity company, here they're going to give you so much discount per person from our group. And she put that up on her group, and she made hundreds of dollars with that single post in just a couple hours.
So they paid her, or they paid her as an affiliate?
I think she did it as an affiliate. She got
Okay.
paid per person, and then I think she gets like a monthly fee. So she gets an ongoing for like 3 months or something. So she made just under $1,000 that day, but she's going to make that every month for the next 3 months.
Okay. So that's the simplest example, right? That's somebody who's just recognized a need, like my train group, and said, "Ooh, I'm going to organize you. I'm going to help manage the organization and I'm going to charge for my time." And that's not unreasonable, right? And they're doing the work that nobody else wants to do, right? They're like, "Oh, I don't want a time. I just want to go and talk trains because that's what I'm into." So the fact that you've done this work for me really helps me. Okay. So that's a perfect example. So that's example number one. What other way can that in that example can they monetize that?
In another Facebook group monetization method would be featuring a local store in your pinned post at the top. You could
Okay.
feature a local thing, or you could even say, here's an Amazon product I just love. It was super helpful. We're all doing gardening this week because, or it's bulk trash week. Guess what? Here's these demo bags that you can get on Amazon, and they fit more stuff in them and they don't rip. So get these demo bags next time since it's bulk trash week this week.
And that would have the affiliate link to your affiliate account on Amazon, which is what, like 4% anymore, depending on what it is, something like that.
That one's actually an 8% product, but
Okay.
yes. So they range between 4 and 8%. Well, there's some 1%.
Okay, so that's another way to make money, right? I mean, so you've done the work, you put it in, and quite frankly, you probably want to do both, right? You should be doing both if you have that kind of group. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. No, we monetize in lots of different ways. I mean, there's syndicated content. That's where if you send traffic to a post, you can actually get 40% of their ad revenue. That's sharing ad revenue with that person that you're driving traffic to. You can do your private label. You can do tripwires. You know, there's, yeah, sponsored content where like the restaurant says, I'm going to take your pin post for the day. The options are numerous.
And they've been around for how long, these options?
That's just typical. You just do those.
I mean, Facebook came out, 2004 or something like that?
Yeah.
Something like that. So these have been around. People have been doing this and making money at it. But now it's relatively easy for most everyone to do that, correct?
Anyone can make money online if they wanted to and are able to build an audience. The secret to making money is that you need to know to collect people together and ask them what they want. Because I might know these demo bags that I bought are amazing, but nobody else might really have a need for them. Nobody else has trash can bags that tear all the time. And so now they're looking for like the next level of trash can bags. no one else is having that need but me. Or I could ask that person, hey, what's your need? Oh, you're happy with your regular trash bag, but you don't like its smell? Okay, well, let's find ones that don't smell bad. Does that make sense? Like, you need to ask those people what they want. And until you ask people what they want, you're just in your own head and you're not going to make as much money.
Right.
And
it could be
love on those people and serve them.
It could be too thin of a market. There is such a thing as too thin of a market, right? There's three of us that collect this thing in the world, and there's three of us. Well, that's just too thin of a market. But if there's 300 and then you multiply it by community, I mean, it can be a lot more. Well, let's talk about your crazy cat lady. That's your biggest success, looking back?
No. It's actually one of my smaller pages.
Oh.
My crazy cat lady, I think last time I looked, it had like 125,000 on it.
Well, what was it? Was that your first one then?
No, my first page that I ever created was Quirky Mama.
Okay,
Quirky Mama. Today, that one has over 3.4 million people on it. So I left the page when it had 2.2. But yeah, I grew that one we grew that one by 1 million in a year.
You left the page. What does that mean?
I sold it.
Oh.
I left it, stopped working on it. So
there's money that was transferred for value, right? You gave them a big, giant, massive audience with a lot of content. Now, I went and looked at Quirky Mama. I mean, it's pretty sophisticated stuff. Was it always? Did it start that way?
Oh, no. It started, my husband actually came home and was like, I just left teaching because we couldn't afford daycare with teaching, my teaching salary. And I came home and I got one of those brains that goes 100 miles an hour and it would not shut
up.
Driving crazy. And he's like, you've got to get a job or something. Not because we do need the money, but I need you to be doing something before you drive me crazy. And so he said, my idea for you is that you're going to have this website. And I didn't even have a Facebook page at the time. I wasn't even on Facebook. It's like, you're going to have this website. You're going to, you know, reach people. You're going to, you know, blog. What are we going to call it? And so for some reason, I decided to call it Quirky Mama because a guy in college told me I was quirky. And I was like, I still am quirky. And I'm a mom. So let's run with that. And I misspelled it. That's how much I put effort into it. I misspelled the word. So yeah, amazingly, the misspelled word SEO domain was open. So
you bought the domain. So let's just walk people through what you basically did. You bought the domain. Here you are. You have no computer training, you know, other than living in college, quite frankly. I mean, because you grew up in the sticks in a plain community. I don't think they had a lot of computers in the plain community,
did
they?
Not so much, right?
Not really. Okay. So here you are, all self-taught. And you put up a page and it was glamorous and sophisticated and all that jazz.
Oh, my husband handed me a PHP book and a CSS book and said, figure it out. I was about ready to shoot him. It was the best thing he could have done for me. And, it took us about 4 years to begin growing the page. And then,
but those 4 years that pushing through, cause I think that's the thing. Everybody says, Rachel, you make it look so easy. But you took 4 years to make it look easy, right? I mean, that's the thing that I think that's missing for most people, right? That 4 years of learning and failing. My bet is you failed daily.
I would fail and then I'd walk away from it for a month and I'd come back and I'd fix it up again and then work on it for another 6 months and then fail again and walk away. And no, it was a learning process for sure. And then we got our first book deal. And when we got the book deal, I was like, we don't have enough of an audience to sell this book. So that's when we started working on our Facebook heavily. And
so the book deal was basically because, if I remember correctly, yours is a lot of what to do, right? Is that what it is?
Explain. That's One Crazy House. Okay. Quirky Mama was kids' activities.
Kids' activities, right. But it was like, here's 10 things you can do, right? Is that kind of the thing?
Well, more like here's a recipe of Play-Doh and here's a really cool bracelet kit and here's, you know, different things like that.
Okay. So it was activities and you put them together in pages. Like, so here's a landing page of one and then that became a page in the book or two pages in the book. Is that kind of the book?
Well, the book actually wouldn't let us use the blog. So we had to have it's all new content in the books. Same concept. Yep. It's basically a recipe book. But only the recipes are kids' activities. So instead of thinking food as the end product is your kids smiling. So we would say, here's how to do a craft. You get these ingredients or these supplies, and then you do the XYZ with that, and then finished product is your kid playing with the craft.
And so in the beginning, it was just you. You created this. You were doing these things because you were doing it for your kids in the beginning, I imagine, in some way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I realized I wanted people to think that I was a good mom. And so I started reaching out to moms who also wanted people to think that they were good moms. And then we were adopting our two boys. And during the process of adopting our two boys, I realized that I would have to stop blogging for a little while. And I didn't want my site to die. And so I brought on I sold it and brought on a business partner, Holly Homer. Mm-hmm. And together we grew that with the multiple book deals and multiple virals. And we grew that to 2.2 million before I left the partnership.
Okay. And she still has it or someone's still running. Okay.
Yes.
And it's still growing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how to delicately ask this. Did you make money when you sold it?
I just wanted out at that point.
Okay. It run its course for you. Were you making money before while it was running?
Yeah. No, we were doing very, very well.
Okay.
But when I left, I just wanted to move on. So.
Okay. Okay. So you move on and you do what?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that. You know how like marriages, sometimes they fall apart. Business partners are kind of the same way. You know?
No, I get it. Dave Ramsey would tell you the only ship that won't sail is a partnership.
Yeah. But the cool thing is that even if it dissolves, it can still be a good thing in everyone's life. So that was a rough patch. But at the same time, like we were talking earlier, all of those rough patches level up to new levels of success for both of us on both ends of our partnership.
Well, you learn what you don't want in a partner, right? I imagine you have some absolutes now.
I love working for myself.
Okay. Yeah. Right. There's your absolute. I don't want a partner, period. Your partner is your spouse, right? Period.
Yeah.
That's enough. Awesome. Okay. Well, no, I get it. I mean, I think that's there. Like you said, you learn something and you move on to, it helps define who you are.
It does. And we're both at a better spot now. So that's really cool to see how that's happened. And, earlier you asked me when the biggest struggle, and I think the biggest struggle in my background is probably overcoming that because I always, you know, even though I created Quirky Mama, I saw myself as part of a team. And so then becoming your own person, it's freeing. Like you're like, I can do this. It was really exciting to become my own person. And I left Quirky Mama and I made One Crazy House. And that one we grew to 500,000 Facebook fans in a year. And I also started doing Amazon at that time. And I would have never done Amazon if I had stayed with Quirky Mama. Amazon was really fun.
I don't want to cut you off there. I just want to make sure I understand this. Were they self-limiting beliefs that made you believe? I just heard this morning on a podcast. And the guy said, you know, a lot of times, a lot of people bring on help because they're so unsure of themselves. They really don't need it. They know exactly what to do, but their uncertainty, their self-confidence or whatever it is, they bring somebody on thinking they're going to bring somebody. His example was they were trainers. And the guy's like, the guy who they're using as a trainer doesn't know any more than what I knew as a working out. But it was this self-doubt. And I thought this would give me like like permission. I don't know what it was. I mean, is that for you? Did you feel that way?
Not with that situation, but I did with the next.
All right. Well, don't go to the next yet. I don't want to do that yet because I want to take a break.
Okay. With a situation with Holly, I had to bring someone on because we were adopting and my two boys were coming home with special needs.
Okay.
So I knew I had to take 6 months off. And the way blogging kind of works, if you stop working for 6 months, your business dies.
Yeah, you're gone. So, I mean, you just have to start over almost.
Yeah. And so it, for me, I wanted to leave a legacy. I didn't want that business that I built up and it was profitable. It was making money and it was bringing on people and it was a community. I didn't want it to just die when I brought on my boys.
Hmm. Yeah, because you breathe life into it. And so, okay. All right. That's fair. Yeah. All right. Well, I do want to hear about the self-confidence. We'll do that when we come back. Be right back.
I was talking to Karen Locker the other day from Solutions for E-Commerce. We all know she's a sponsor of my show. She pays me. I don't want to hide that, right? The other thing she reminded me, though, is that if you sign up for her service through my link, you get $50 off, right? You knew that. I forgot that she offers an inventory health assessment. I'm like, Karen, I probably should be talking about that valuable service. She's going to take a look through your inventory and help you figure it out. They're going to take care of your suppressed listings. You're tired of having stranded inventory? Is inventory getting lost? When's the last time you looked at your shipments to get them reconciled? How about refunds? Has that happened? Well, Karen takes care of all that for me. She's been doing it for almost 2 years. I pay the same rate you do, but I'm very, very pleased with the service. Two well-known guys in the area reach out to me saying, hey, you've been with her. Are you satisfied? I'm perfectly satisfied. And again, I can message her. I get the services I need. So it's Solutions for E-Commerce. The only way you're going to get that deal is using my code MOMENTUM. I have a link on my website. You have to go there. If you're thinking about outsourcing that piece of your business, get your inventory looked at.
Her enthusiasm is infectious. It really is. And she's just like this on stage. She will hold the audience because she's so, so exciting. And just, I mean, she just really is just a master at it. What I love about in this area, in this segment, she talks about ways to monetize, ways I've never thought of. And she, I mean, it really is for context. You really have the ability to create passive income, you know, and or you can go and source 50 more products. You know, you really have to start thinking about where you're going with your business. If you have strong products, why not make them stronger? Why add 5 more on and get distracted by them until yours meets the potential that it really has? And I just think she gives some great examples of how to do it. Her Facebook group is free. I have a link for it. You absolutely want to join him. It's free. Let's get into the podcast. All right, we're back and we're talking with Rachel Miller. She is the Moolah Lady, Facebook marketing extreme. I mean, you are an extreme. You don't do anything small when it comes to... No, I mean, it's extreme. I mean, you hear the enthusiasm in her voice. She's about 5'3", 5'4", I'm being generous.
Well, like 5 foot, but yeah.
Okay, all right. And yet, you hear her... You can hear her personality and it's infectious. I mean, it really is. Has it always been that way? Because you came from a plain community where you're supposed to not stand out. You're supposed to be plain.
Oh, I didn't fit in very well there.
That's just funny to think about.
I've always had I've always been a live wire, so.
That just has to be, oh, here comes that Rachel. And they knew you were coming. Oh, that's just funny to think about. Okay, yeah. So we're talking about you, you had the confidence and you had success. And so you needed help and you realized that, you know, you were going to be a mom. So for those 6 months, you had to be mom only. That was it. So you brought on a partner. Okay. That dissolves. Yeah. You move on. And there's a point of I can't imagine you not having the confidence. That's fascinating to me. What caused that?
I didn't.
But why?
I don't know why. I had always had a partner. So standing on my own 2 feet was kind of scary for me. And so I actually hired a business mentor. And in hiring the business mentor, he was one of those hustle, hustle, hustle people. And it was the best thing for me, even though it was like the worst thing for me, because I realized who I did not want to be and what I did not want to go to, what levels I wasn't ready to work all day. You know, I was a mom first and I wanted to always be a mom first. I wanted to always work with high levels of integrity. And so it was really kind of fun to have that antithesis to, I left Quirky Mama, had like 3 months where I started making Amazon products, and then probably 6 months I worked with the business coach in his mastermind group. And it was thousands of dollars. I mean, looking back, I'm like, why did I do that? But at the same time, it was a huge gift because it taught me what I did not want to be. And that was that hustle, hustle, hustle person.
And that's valuable. Knowing what you don't want is probably more valuable than guessing what you do want and what if and dreaming, because you don't want to, you know, stifle your dreams. But knowing that there are absolutes that, you know, I'm not willing to, you know, work 80 hours a week anymore, period. Not going to happen. Or I'm not willing to move, or I'm not willing to do this. That's a good thing to know.
It was a huge gift. It was a huge gift. And learning who I wanted to be almost made me stand on my own 2 feet. And so those, that 6 months of transitioning from quirky mama and building one crazy house and selling Amazon, selling tripwires, and being successful at all of those things, but learning what inside of me really makes me excited and what my gift is for the world was a really great transformable.
Sounds good. Yeah, I get it. How could you not be excited talking to her? Oh my God, I'm ready to jump out of my chair. I got to get a stand-up desk because I can. I'm actually going to start doing these on video. So somebody's like, man, we just want to watch record. And I'm like, really? It's like watching paint dry. But if you're into it, but you'll see my hands fly and I get like pumped up and sometimes I'll even tear up and then I'll actually come out. So, all right. So you decide to do what? You're selling stuff. And what was the next successful site?
One Crazy House was the next successful site. And on that one, I sold Amazon products. I sold my own products.
So give me an example of something that you can out, if you can have one.
Oh yeah. I don't mind outing. I got all my things that I sell. I sold, my first product that I ever sold was essential oil necklaces because I ran a large Young Living essential oil team at the time. And I left it, whatever, but I had a large essential oil team. And so when I stopped working with essential oils, there was some FDA stuff. So when I stopped working with essential oils, I had all of these like rewards for all my downline. And so I sold those on Amazon. And they sold almost immediately because I had the audience already of people that were buying oil stuff. And so that got me the light bulb came on of you could have a product and you can sell it to people, especially if you have that audience made.
Right. You have a following, right? You have authority and you have a following.
Exactly.
Okay. So you did that. And you sold feathers too, didn't you?
Oh, that one's, it's in the works. I have an employee who's boxing them up. So she just finished like 3 weeks ago and she's supposed to put them online as soon as I say yes.
But it's not like two feathers. How many feathers is it?
No. Oh, my husband was so thrilled with me. It was an impulse buy. I bought like 55,000 feathers.
55,000 feathers.
It was an impulse buy.
You know, it's funny. People are going to be like, wait, what are you guys talking about? So let's talk about, because my theory, right? Now I'm going to, you and I did on the pre-show, we were talking about this, about where I like the conversation to go. Because to me, you are the future today. Like you are, John Lawson talks about it a lot. And he talks about really the future is you have one landing page for one product. Ultimate, and it's found everywhere. Now, how it's distributed, whether it's done by Amazon FBA or it's done by a third party, whatever, or you do it yourself, whatever. But it's basically the same product, and that link is everywhere. It's sold on eBay, it's sold on Amazon, it's sold on Etsy, it's sold on Walmart, sold on Jet, sold on everything. But it basically comes back to you, and ultimately, you want to own the customer, right? That's ultimately the best scenario. And so, not your whole shtick, but part of what you're able to do is to do just that. You can take and you can demonstrate that it's been done, that someone can take whatever the product is, which is a crazy feather, and if you market it correctly, you can sell it. Period.
Yeah.
Right? Period. I mean, it's like
pretty much anything, yeah.
Right. And so I love the example of the barbecue gloves, right? It's the ones with were they the bear type of gloves with the spikes in the hands, right?
Uh-huh.
And everybody would tell you that that is saturated, it's diluted, it's the silicone spatulas, every group has used that as an example how to create a private label product. However, it's been done so many times, it's impossible to make any money on it. Correct? That's what you were told.
Yeah. And those silicone mold things, yeah. We sell them all the time.
Okay. And so let's walk through, because to me, this is the future, right? So basically you're saying, look, Steve, if you want to sell your silicone muffin holders, right, or baked things, you need to create an audience and direct them to your link, period. Not to, even though there's 7,622 other links of silicone pans, you don't really care because you're directing them to your link. And the only one they're going to see is your link, correct?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that's the future, but you say it's available now.
It is. It is. It's really kind of fun and exciting. You can drive your own traffic. So if you can use your product in a video and put it in, or in a photo or in a blog post, but make it in such a way that it shows your reader in the best possible light, so they know that they will be the best baker. They will have the most fun party for their kids if they used this type of mold to make their cupcakes more fun. So, or it'd be easier for them if they use this type of cupcake mold.
And you've actually done this. You did it with gloves and you did it with that. So walk me through how that person did that.
Well, the one with the mold, my friend Jennifer had a video where she popped like candies into one of those muffin molds. And it was like a spoon chocolate mold thing. And it's one of those molds that everyone on Amazon, there's like thousands of them.
Right.
And they're so cheap to source from China. So everyone like starts with these like silicone molds. And so it's a flooded market. And I would go onto like those Amazon seller groups and it'd be people unloading that product. And what Jennifer did is she made a video of herself putting candy inside of one of these and then melting it slightly. And so she now had a candy spoon. And so she put linked to an Amazon product on that. She sold out that product and put it at number one list. The thing is, though, I took her video. I shared that video. I sold product and I put an Amazon affiliate link when I shared her video of it. And then I sold more, too. So it was really kind of fun to see that we both got to benefit from that income from selling these products that people said you could not sell.
That are impossible to sell. So when I'm in my Facebook feed now, there are forever these, must be because they know I like food, right? The fat guy likes food. And so they're forever showing me how to make the most incredible candy, how to remake things, how to make tasty cake thing, anything in the world. They're fed through. And then I'm mesmerized. I sure enough sit there and watch it. I'm like, oh my God, look, that looks so good. Oh my God, that looks so good. And so that's an example right there. And in there, if I saw you need these molds, that link in that ad, which it says, hey, here's the link, that goes to your silicone mold, or in your case, your friend's silicone mold ad. But it was you sharing her video, so it was your affiliate link, so you got your 4 or 8%, anywhere from 1 to 8, I guess, right? Percentage.
That was 4, yeah.
Right, so 4%. You got your 4%. She sold it. She got her fees, and everybody was happy. And then me, who's the buyer, got the product that I want, yet I never saw the other 7,000 that were available.
Yes, you need to do that by creating a separate page so that you can either do like Sellio, where you put the link onto a separate page that when they come through, they click through to the shopping cart with their product in it.
Okay, and it's right there, and it ignores the rest of it.
And there's a spot you can also link to on Amazon where you go into the cart. So it's like you're putting it into the cart when you're doing the link. So there's some link massaging that you can do.
Right, and that's the technical piece that you need to. But here's the thing. I don't know how to create a video. It sounds really hard. Is it?
I don't think so. Got an iPhone?
Well, it's funny because I remember when, and I've been through her training, I remember I was kind of stuck at a point. She's like, Steve, give me 3 seconds. And she's like, okay, what do you want to show? Somebody keying in a keyboard? Okay, here. And she takes a picture of yourself keying on a keyboard. And you're like, oh, just throw it up here and put this here. I'm like, she's like, oh, that took 3 seconds. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And it was so simple watching you do it. I'm like, oh my God.
It doesn't have to be fancy. The thing is Facebook loves authenticity. So if you can make it seem real, then it will sell more. And how do you make it seem real is you don't have to have a huge production team and it doesn't have to be pretty. It can be just your phone. I do suggest that people use tripods and good lighting.
Okay.
So, but again, that's like $100 max because tripods are like $19 and a decent light. Well, if you don't have lights, natural light in your backyard, then, you know, get a $50 light.
I asked you this question in the pre-interview because I'm concerned about this because this sounds like a lot of work, right, for one product. And if I'm just trying to unload the 55 cases of silicone spatulas I have in my garage, it's one thing. I asked you this and you said it's both. my concern is that really, is this the opportunity to do that just to get rid of the product that I have? Or can I actually create a real ongoing business with those silicone molds for the future in addition?
What I like to do is build an audience. So my primary is not actually selling my product. So if I sell my product, that's icing on the cake. My primary goal is to get that audience, because if I have that audience, I don't care if I sell them a silicone mold or not. Maybe next time they'll buy knives from me, or they'll buy spatulas. And if they buy spatulas from me, well, then next time maybe they'll buy cooking sheets.
Because you're not necessarily making the product, bringing it in from China. You're selling the affiliate link.
I'm selling the affiliate links, and then once I find that they are buying the same affiliate links multiple times, then I'll go and source that product from China.
No, Jesus, that's proof of concept.
So I already know
my goodness.
No.
Oh,
my people.
It's like the lights just went on. Whoa.
So if I can already drive traffic and make the sales, well, then that's the product I want to sell. So, I mean, I have no problem selling like anything, but like the 55,000 feathers. Like, if they sell really well, well, then I'll look for an ongoing source. But when I found the really cheap deal on feathers, I can't go wrong. It's like a failure. It's, you know, you can't fail at it. So
right, because you know you already have a market, A, that's interested in buying feathers because they've bought in the past. You've seen them mm-hmm. buy because you're getting paid for it from selling other people's feathers. Hey, you might as well make the full commission rather than just the 4 or 8%.
Exactly.
Dude, that's really smart.
And I
oh
found
my
them in
God.
Fishing men. Fishing,
oh my God!
Because they buy broken feathers.
Oh my God, that's so smart. So so you vet the product, and if it doesn't sell, okay, next item, next
exactly.
item, next item. But there's a common trait though. You're selling to the food people, food related stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have to niche. You have to collect your people, and then ask them what they want. And you could try selling them different things in the process. So the thing is, you're probably going to have 100 failures of trying to sell them something before you find that one that people are go bonko crazy for. And the thing is, that bonko crazy one, like with my cat people, it's this like cat rolling pin. They love the cat rolling pin. The thing is that's so heavy to source. It's got this problem, that wrong. So I'm not sourcing that one, but I can source that from somebody else's. Does that make sense? So I can reach out to a person who is selling it and say, hey, why don't we do like a share? Since you are selling this, and I realize that I have to have the paint tested because it's going on food. I'm going to have this, all of these things I don't want to do, but you can do. And so you can share the workload too.
Well, that's taking it even to the next level. So in that scenario, so if you truly want to stay passive, right, and you don't want to get involved in the sourcing and all the rest of that jazz, this is the ability. You become an influencer, right? I mean, in essence, you're the Instagram influencer that everybody talks about. But via Facebook, you're that influencer. Steve, I've got this great audience of people who are into cats. You sell cat mittens, which is kind of weird. But I think they would love your cat mittens. Are you interested in partnering? Is that the conversation?
Yeah. I mean, we've had that conversation multiple times. Yes.
And what's the quid pro quo? So what do you get and versus what do they get?
Usually it's percentages. Because they don't want to work with me because they don't believe I can deliver. And I honestly don't think that I should work for them unless I can deliver. So I like to do percentages. Most bloggers and influencers like to do paid per product, per share. So we might do, say, $2,000 if you share this or comment on it or talk about it.
A flat fee.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people like flat fee, but I personally prefer percentage because I'll make more money that way.
And so percentage meaning that you click on, you know, you put an affiliate link there outside of the affiliate link to Amazon.
Yes, you can do with Celio pages, you can track who clicks through. So I can have like a fee per person who clicks through or something.
Okay, that goes to my cat mittens. And so then I personally write you a check for my business rather than getting paid through Amazon.
Yeah. Huh. So, I mean, there's different ways you can work it out. Everybody has to talk to the influencer themselves and see what they would prefer.
And people are going to be sitting here saying, oh, BS, this doesn't work. I've seen this, blah, 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 blah. Right? I mean, that's what you heard, right?
It's easy to say that, but it's so funny because I always want to laugh because, I mean, I don't know. It's very profitable when you get it working. the dollars don't lie. And the people don't lie because the people are there thrilled that you sell to them. Like, how many people, like in your group, your reach, have customers who are like, I am so glad you sold this to me.
Right.
And we have that every single day. I've got people who are like, this is so cool. This product is the best thing ever. I can't believe you showed it to me.
And so the other money, right? So we've been talking about examples of where you're making money. You can make money all the way along. So far we've given five or six examples where you can make money. However, here's the next one. That cat website authority, that grouping of people, that list of people, there's a value to, correct? Somebody's interested in buying that list. So the cat company who makes cat supplies, right? They might be interested in buying your audience. Not only just the one time and sell them a product, literally to buy your whole business. Now, have you had any success in selling any of your audience collections? I got to come up with a better term. I like the audience. I get it because it's all around. I love the way you're describing it. Community, your community.
Yes. I did sell Quirky Mama, but then after that, I've had a hard time letting go of my communities. So like, I don't know, people, when they look at the community, they'll sit there and tell me it's going to be worth this much. I'm sitting there going, but I can make that much money with it doing this and this. Why would I? So I've had a hard time saying yes to them. I'm running out of energy, if that makes sense, or like brain space to manage all of them.
You got six kids, dude.
I know. I should probably sell some of them, but at the same time, I'm like, but I could do this with that audience.
And it's still fun.
I know. It's still fun. I don't want to give it up yet.
Okay. But there is a value there, right?
Yes. No, people sell audiences and sell reach all the time and sell access to their list.
Okay. So give me an example. Do you know of any example of what the value is? Is there a rate per 100 or 1,000 or something like that? Have you ever seen anything?
Well, it varies. So like if your list is people buying houses, that's going to be a lot higher. If your list is car parts, that's higher. If your list is health products, because health has that huge markup, it's a lot higher. The DIY range is pretty low because DIY people are doing it themselves, so they're not paying a lot of money on things. Their cost per customer their shopping cart average is lower. So you want to think of how high your income living is of your audience, and then what their buying history is as to how you'd sell it.
And then how do you sell it? I mean, is this where you have to go to one of those websites that people sell the web services, apps, and those kind of things on, or is there another way?
Most the ones that I've looked at seriously are people who've contacted me.
Okay. And so they're also cat people, and they're like, hey, we have a similar audience. Would you like to buy mine too and add it to yours or what have you?
Yeah, actually just 2 weeks ago I purchased an audience from someone else. But most of the time that person reached out to me and said, hey, my audience is similar to yours. But at the same time, most of them, when the people that come to me are people that are brands and they want to have a cat audience. So they'll say, hey, can I buy your cat page, all the cat reach, yada yada. But the price that they're offering me isn't what I want to pay yet, or isn't what I'm ready to accept.
But you will rent it to them.
I'll rent it to them,
right. And so in your training course, because, you know, Rachel has a course. And so, yes, I'm going to let her pitch her course. She sells these services. This training is what you sell, right? Is all this stuff.
A little bit. We cover that. Mostly what I teach people is how to go viral and how to collect people.
Okay.
Because if you can collect people, then you can figure out what they want to buy. Well, you can figure out if you want to rent it. Like that's on a little bit on you.
Yeah. Well, you've just given six examples how you can make money off of it. So that part is there.
Yeah,
but it's getting the audience. That's the art.
Getting the audience and making that audience really love you and love your product and love your content. That's what my course is about.
Are you engaging personally with your audience? Because you have to engage X number of times per week, per month, is it? I mean, there must be some magic formula right now.
I call it the 720, but I don't know if that's an exact number. It's just kind of what I've been doing. I like to engage with my people 7 times before I ever try to sell them something.
Okay. And so are you coming up with the engagement yourself personally, or have you outsourced some of that?
Oh, I've outsourced almost a lot of it. Yeah. Okay. I've got staff like 30 different staff. Most of them work part-time. I love hiring moms who want to stay home with their kids and work just a couple hours here and there. So like 5 hours, 10 hours a week.
Give me an example of what they're doing.
Filling Facebook feed, finding affiliate products to share, finding the affiliate products that are selling well, going through my list of emails and pulling out the people who have an Amazon wish list, because if they have a wish list, that means they're buyers on Amazon, so I can target them with more products to sell on Amazon.
Whoa. You just blew my mind again. So you go, Steve sends you an email, and you go and profile me and say, ooh, this dude likes...
I can see you your shopping cart on Amazon.
No kidding, because you have my email.
Yes.
How does that work?
You just type it into wish list.
No kidding.
I know. It's default public unless you want to tell them not to have it public.
Okay. And so
you can see what people have on their I want to buy this soon list.
So wait. This is, you're going to blow my mind again. And there's a whole bunch of people listening like, duh, Steve, everybody knows that. Well, guess what? Steve doesn't know that. All right. So it's my really bet is cool. There's a whole bunch of people who don't know that. So you're saying again is because you have my email, you're able to go in and say, hey, here's Steve's email. Let's see what his wish list is. You see what my wish list is, which is in theory, the things that I tend to like. Otherwise, why would I like them? Right. And yeah. So then you group together, again, you're collecting an audience, and you say, ooh, we'll put him in the water bottle or the health and physical health category, or he's into the cats. I can see he loves cat crap. And so therefore,
you could do it that way. What I just do is I just collect them and say they're all buyers, because a proven list of buyers is worth more to you than a list of people that aren't buyers. So these people all shop regularly on Amazon. So that's as much as I segment. Oh. But I know it could be a lot more powerful by segmenting, here's all the cat people, here's all of this, here's all of that. I just segment it by here's somebody who buys.
Okay, so if you looked at my list and I don't have a wish list, you'd say, okay, non-buyer, boom, boom, boom. But that's what you're doing.
Yes.
Okay, so you're parsing at that level. And then once I'm a buyer, you're putting me into what?
Well, you're now worth more to me because I know I can sell something to you. And if I sell something to you, most likely, you're also going to buy something else that's in your cart.
And how do you know what I want to buy then? Because you collected my email in a cat way?
Yes, I've got the cat emails. I've got the crockpot emails. I've got the house emails. They're all separate in different pots of emails. That said, I still ask the cat people, what are you interested in right now? And I found out they're not interested in cat food. They will not buy cat food from me, no matter what I say about cat food. But they do buy cat t-shirts. And they do buy cat magnets, and they even buy cat napkins and cat anything else, cat car decals, cat cat rings, and cat cat cookie cutters. And but so I learn what they buy and what they won't buy.
And so when you your staff, and I'm going back to your staff, they find there are people who are into cats looking for more cool cat things. Are they?
Yeah.
Do you find that they're into it? So when
get people that are interested in that subject to be on that staff.
So if they think it's cool, then they would send it to you saying, I think this is cool. All my crazy cat people would like this too, because I'm crazy cat.
They put it up on the page and then we see if it works.
Okay. So they put it up with your affiliate link and then therefore you get paid. Oh, dude, this is so smart. So smart.
It's fun. It's so much fun.
All right, let me ask you this. I'm drilling down. You can tell me when to stop.
You're good.
Andy, he would say, Steve, you're peppering her. All right, how do you pay that person? How do you pay that cat-loving, crazy person who's in your group that puts up that affiliate for the cat rolling pin? How do you pay them?
I pay them through PayPal as a contractor.
Just by the hour?
They work whatever hours they want to because they're contractors. I can't tell them you're going to work this time to this time because they're not technically employees. So I say, here's the task and I'll pay this much money for that task. And then when you're done with it, you can send me an invoice.
So they have to, is the task though, Steve, go out and find six cool cat things that you think people would like. Is that the task?
Yeah, pretty much. I have one girl who she makes cat memes. And so she goes to my Facebook page. My readers give me their photos that I can use for cat memes. And then she goes through those photos and makes cat memes out of them. And then she finds a product that connects to those memes.
And puts that link in there. So the meme is there. She creates the meme and then puts the link for the product that would match that, pops it out into your Facebook page for you.
Yes, I have another person that then plugs it into the Facebook
page. Okay, so there's somebody else who's administrative. Okay, and somebody else with different levels. Okay. Oh, my God.
It's so much fun.
But that's part of the engagement. You don't have to do that.
I'm not a snarky person, so I can't come up with memes. That's not something that I'm gifted at. But my friend who's really smart, snarky, she's really good at coming up with memes, but she's not so good at follow through. So she's not the one posting because you have to post regularly. But she's really good at coming up with really snarky memes that people relate to. So she comes up with the memes. We connect a product to it, like a cat that's shredded toilet paper everywhere. And we say, oh, isn't it great that Amazon Prime delivers this back in an hour so we can have toilet paper again in an hour.
And that's a perfect example. And so mm-hmm. When you first started, though, would you have been the person doing all three or four of those steps?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's the pain. I think that's the pain point right now for people, right? They're going to sit there and say, oh, Jesus, Rachel and Stephen, you want me to take on another? I'm busy. I don't think I can do this. However, once you set it and you get to a certain size audience, that you start to get a little monetization, your term earlier was addictive, right? It really does.
It is. When you start collecting an audience that's really excited about a product or a topic, it is really addictive to see virals come in and see. And I mean, I've had virals, my biggest viral, I think, went to like 12 million. But my students have had virals that have gone over 50 million. So when you get one or two virals, you just can't stop. It's really, really fun to see the eyeballs come in.
I'm in your group. And one of the students recently posted an example of a viral. And I'm like, oh my God, I saw that one. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, that was that person that's right there that yes. I can actually, quite frankly, message now because I know who they are and I can connect with them to pick their brain. And
there's
that's part of the value.
Of them. And we've had literally thousands of virals. We've had dozens and dozens of virals that have gotten over 10 million. It's just insane.
And when they hit that level, that's where the opportunity is like explosive, potentially.
Yes. Yes. Actually, we've had people who've gotten to, when they've gotten to those kind of levels of virals, explode their audiences. We've had people go from 24,000 Facebook fans to 260,000 Facebook fans in just a couple weeks.
And if you can help a business get that level, you know, of growth, you're worth money, correct?
They pay me. But I do it because I love it, if that makes sense.
No, but I mean, if you taught me and I caught on to it and I figured it out and I find the passion in it, I could go sell my services, correct?
Yes. Oh, we have lots of students who are taking the course because they're teaching other businesses how to do this.
And they get paid for that. Oh,
yes.
Jesus.
No, I have one student who actually, she was a preschool teacher and she wasn't making very much money. As a preschool teacher, she started doing this part-time in my course. It was just like 8 weeks ago that she started. And this month she billed $8,000, just by teaching businesses, how to do the course. It's like,
and it's something she loves, you know,
and she's good at it. And it's just, so it's really fun to have unlocked, Brenda's heart for people.
She would have never found that had she not. Hey, here's like, three more examples before we close. Merch right now is unbelievably hot, right? And
yeah.
Right now it's still just t-shirts, but it's soon going to be coffee cups and pens and bottles and everything else in the world, hats and jazz like that, right? This is like, so if you got a crazy cat audience, like you said, they are into crazy cat t-shirts. So I can take that meme that I had created and throw it on a merch shirt and then put it out in my group and sell that, right? I mean, that's the opportunity.
I'll get this. I actually had a mug. Now, this shirt wasn't my shirt, but somebody else had, I did sell this mug that was Crazy Cat Lady mug. And it's actually a product sold on Amazon, but my father is the seller.
Okay.
So I was kind of selling my mug, but it wasn't really my mug, but I was selling my father's, cat mugs on Amazon. And while I was selling my father's cat mugs, I realized that one of the mugs was selling really, really well. And then his stock went out. So I found the cat mug on a t-shirt. So it's literally the picture of the mug on a shirt. So Crazy Cat Lady, handle of a cup on a shirt.
And so somebody else created their own?
No, somebody made a t-shirt of the mug.
And then they're using it as a merch thing. It's sold. That's funny.
It's like it's a mug on a shirt, but the cat lady mug. Anyways, I thought that was really funny.
So that's an example, though, is right now Amazon also offers services. Right now they offer home repair service. I don't know how many people know that. Like there are actually repair services that you can start to buy through Amazon now and different things like that. Again, that's where we're going, right? Where they're going to be offering the services and all the products and of the world, right? They want every single thing. If you can master this and you can build an audience, you can bring them the things that they need because you're going to help solve their problem. How many people need a repair person or a rug? I always think about carpet cleaning because it's crazy. I never understand it. They all tell me they're better than the next one. It's chemical, non-chemical, powder, you know, powderless, yeah, yeah. All those things. I don't know what to believe. However, I can't be the only one. We need to know that there's good services out there. And so if you have the ability, if you have an audience that are whatever, and they, you know, they are cat people, well, guess what? They need their carpets clean because cats are messy, right? So therefore, this opportunity exists, right? Once you get this skill set, you can just apply it across. I guess that's where I was going with it.
You can use it for mugs. You can use it for t-shirts. You can use it for carpet cleaning. You can use it for pet services. You can use it for anything. Sell anything to that audience, but you need the audience first.
All right, last two questions on it. How hard is it? And you're going to say, oh, it's easy because you could do it. But realistically, how many people start it and really never follow through with it?
Well, I have roughly 1/4 of my students never even kind of open the course.
That's a bad thing, right?
I know. I'm like, guys, come on, open it, open it. So 1/4 of them tend to delay in taking the course. And then half my students are pretty successful. And then roughly 1/4 of them are unbelievably successful.
Okay. And they just, they go all in and they give it all. Is there any difference between that 25% and the 50%? I mean, are they like outliers or do they just really go all in?
The ones who tend to be the most successful are the ones who get out of their own way. Hmm. Because the product, if you're going to be serving an audience, it can't be about you. It has to be about them, the people you're serving. So it's easier for me, I think, on some level with my newer pages because I'm not a crockpot person and I'm not a cat person. So I have to put myself into the brains of the people that I'm serving and say, how can I serve you? Because if I just say, hey, this crockpot, it reaches 400 degrees and it heats evenly and it's ceramic no one cares about that. What they care about is this will help you get your food on the table and be a better mom, even if it's soccer day and you're trying to rush to soccer games.
Love it.
You have to put it in their head. So the ones who can get that fastest are the ones who do the best.
They do the best. Oh my God, you blow my mind. Every time I talk with you, I'm like, oh, I got to go do that. I get so excited about this. I mean, your enthusiasm is catchy. I know that's not the first time you've been told that. So, okay. So somebody's interested. They're saying, hey, I see this is the future because Amazon's restricting my brands or I'm having trouble or I created a private label product and things are going good. I want to now take it to the next level, or I'm selling merch and I want to take it to the next level, or, right? All these things are or. So really, they're all opportunities.
And honestly, I would suggest that you diversify because if you just sell private label products on Amazon and you have your 5 products, well, somebody else is going to come in and hijack that eventually.
Right.
And somebody's going to come into merch and merch my clothes. And somebody's going to, so you want to have all of them, like a little bit. Oh, maybe not all because you want to focus in on what you're good at, but I would definitely have more than one revenue stream.
More than one revenue stream. But this skill set is transferable amongst them all. I mean, that's the thing that I think that I hope people hear that. I don't know how well I made this point. Once you learn this technique, you can apply it all the way to a brick and mortar store if that's your thing, correct? I mean, you can do brick and mortar. You can do an e-commerce. You can do an eBay. You can do an Etsy.
We have a governor. We have a nonprofits. We have golf courses. We have a guy who's a llama wedding person.
A what?
If you want to have your wedding with llamas, he's your man.
Okay.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. I don't think that travels in my circles, but there are people. You know what, though? But again.
But he needs a Facebook page.
And he's getting excited. I mean, I can see that becoming a viral thing. I mean, I can see the excitement from it. Okay. So this is a course. You sell a course. How much is the course?
It's $5.97 or $4.97, excuse me.
$4.97. And so that course is it currently open or it's not open?
It opens every couple months.
Okay.
Because it's like a college class and we go through it together. And it's a lot of community because we talk about improving it. You're not alone when you're taking the course. It's like a college class. You go through the content together. And then at the end, you are left with knowledge.
And how long does it take?
It's a 6-week long course, but we usually offer support for like 8 to 9 weeks.
Okay. And so it's $4.97. And you're going to give me the link. And so I'm going to pop the link in here. We're trying to do it over the air and it's just like, it's too long to show. And so it's like, all right, I'll just put a link here for that.
They also can then, that link though, will only put them into the free Facebook group. There's no obligation when they click this link, correct?
There's, what the link I was going to give to you is my viral titles, because these are titles that I have used each of those titles to get over 1 million page views per title. So some of them actually have led to multiple millions of title page views. So each title, and that way you can literally take it, plug in your own content, your own word, like, so crockpots, you can say dog gardening supplies or whatever, and plug in your own product descriptions there and hopefully have a leg up right away.
And that title, so that's an example where they can do, but there's no charge for that, correct?
That's completely free. And the next one is a Facebook group where you can get nerdy with other people marketing on Facebook. And again, that one's free too.
Okay. All right. And that's what I wanted people to do. If this is, if this resonates with you, and it needs to, if you're thinking about any real kind of e-commerce business in the future, and you're saying, wait, I can't be reliant upon one channel, which is Rachel's advice too, you've got to be kind of in control of your own destiny. You've got to be able to deliver an audience yourself, because you can have a standalone, again, just what John Lawson says, in the future, it's basically one landing page for one product, Steve. That's really where the world is going. And then you got to get the traffic there. And it could be, you're going to have it linked there to Amazon and Etsy and eBay and Jet and whatever tomorrow brings, right? The next new thing. That's controllable. But if you can drive your own traffic there, you now have distanced yourself from everyone else. Because that's the hardest part. This takes it to that last piece. This is the thing that gets you there. And it's free to find out how to do it by clicking through those links. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I mean, you've taken me up and you've really pumped me up. Man, oh man, I'm so excited.
Now you gotta go collect people, Stephen.
Yeah, I am. I'm interested in a lot of different things. And so I do see value. The hardest part for me was creating the content. And today, you make it relatively easy by explaining how you get others to create the content for you. You got to pay them, which is fine. I'm willing to pay for those services. That makes perfect sense. The way you explained it to me, that was perfect sense. Yeah. But then also other ways to monetize. I never even thought about, never even had a clue that I can bring things through to see if this is how I should source products, because I can bring through all the water bottles I want, and if nobody's buying them, then Steve, stay out of the water bottle business. Or pens. I'm looking at my desk. I'm looking at my notepad in my desk.
The thing is, when we look at Jungle Scout, we'll see this product is selling well, but we don't know if it's selling well because that person has a market that they're driving the traffic to, or we don't know if it's because of different factors. So if you can prove that you can sell it, you've got a leg up all the way from the beginning.
Right, because that's true. That's a great example. You have no clue other than, well, the thing says it'll sell, but then how many people do you say, well, Jungle Scout said it would sell, and then I'm not picking on Greg's product because it's a great product, but it's true. It says it would sell, but mine's not. Why is theirs so strong and mine's not? Like you said, they might have an audience, and they very likely do.
Yeah. Making your own audience, now you can test that audience and see what they want. It's a much stronger position.
Okay, Rachel Miller, you blew my mind. You absolutely blew my mind, and you got me excited. I'm pumped. I'm jazzed.
Thank you, Stephen, for having me. I really appreciate it.
I'm going to put all the links, free Facebook group. I love the idea that I can get some titles from it, because that would be great. I can apply it into maybe even my merch account. Maybe.
Definitely.
All right, cool. Rachel, man, I wish you nothing but success. Thank you so much. Oh, if somebody has, I guess the best way to get in touch with you is through a Facebook group. Duh.
Yes, definitely.
Duh. Okay. Hey, thank you so much. I wish you nothing but success.
Thank you.
Oh, man, she blew my mind. Just absolutely blows my mind when I talk to her, because it's like, really? I can't believe I've never thought of these things. And, you know, it's so obvious to her. And that just shows how Rachel's strengths and why she's doing so well, because she just, you know, she has that ability. It's almost innate in her. And I just love, love, love it. So ecommercemomentum.com, that's where I have the links for her course and her links for the viral titles, which I can't wait to use on my merch stuff. ecommercemomentum.com. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the e-commerce Momentum Podcast. All the links mentioned today can be found at ecommercemomentum.com under this episode number. Please remember to subscribe and like us on iTunes.